You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Okay, if there are no more announcements, we'll go to the scripture reading. It's in Romans today, chapter 12, verses 1 through 5. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. And Father God, we ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen.
Well, the clock has moved by, and we're now into the past the dead week, as we call it at OU, and we're into the exam finals week is now upon us. And that means grading. So just about, I think, for me at least, I've got Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then a Friday, I think I've got exams. And then the following week on Tuesday, we've got to have them all graded, and by midday, all the grades, final grades, have got to be up on the server and all done. So we're busy. We're going to be very busy grading. And so there's one exam I've got, which is on I think it's on the Wednesday, and it's at 7:30 at night, which is an unusual one. So that means all that morning I've got to really catch up, make sure all the grading's done, so that when we get the new exam, then the next day I can grade in the morning and then get another exam before we start to bottleneck and everything comes in to the weekend. You know, that's the game. So that's the only hard part. Oh, I shouldn't say hard. That's the only sort of negative part, I think, about teaching is the grading. But other than that, it's hard, but it's enjoyable, for me anyway. Well, let's have a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we thank Thee that we've got this opportunity and the responsibility to preach the Word of God. We thank Thee that it's been preserved for us. We thank Thee for this time of the year where we can remember the coming of Christ and all that means to us. And the wonder that God took on flesh and then dwelt among us. What an amazing thing that is. We thank Thee for His obedience, His faithfulness, and that He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, well, we're on the series called Mid-Acts or Acts 28, and it's really a cool thing to be looking at because this is right where I live in terms of a lot of the issues that I seem to be facing from a lot of Christians. And so I want to raise an issue that some of those of our brethren in the Mid-Acts camp they will often point to, and so I want to make you aware of it and so you can see it and then hopefully have a nice clear answer too. So this is in Ephesians chapter number 3. And so I'm going to read it to you and then I'm going to give you the interpretation of the passage as the mid-Acts people sometimes will give you. Okay, so you can see how it runs. So this is Ephesians chapter 3, and I'll read in verse 5. It says, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Stop there. So what many will say about this is that where it says the same body, what Paul is referring to is he's saying there existed previously a body, right? Body truth already existed. And now what he's doing is he's showing the Ephesians how they too can be members of that same body, which was originally found in the book of Acts. So this is the Acts body, you see. And what Paul now is doing is he's introducing the Ephesians to the same body. You got it? That's how it goes. So if I was to diagram the thing out, this is basically what is being said. Okay, so here we got the end of the book of Acts, and then we've got Ephesians here. And so there was a body back here. And I'm going to be very specific, and I'm going to put the "ah." There was a body here. And I'm going to say that there was a body over here too. And we'll have a look at them. And it's really quite remarkable how you can find these and remember them, because, interestingly, you notice the numbers. It's kind of interesting, isn't it, how it works sometimes. 12 tribes of Israel. It's kind of interesting that the place where you find mention in these books has got a chapter 12 on them. And then over here in the book of Ephesians 3, Paul says concerning the same body. The same body. And so what many of the mid-Acts people do is they don't see the fact that there are a number of bodies, but there's one body. They'll see it as one body. And they'll say, oh, okay, so this is the body that survives the book of Acts and moves through into the time after that. And so Paul is talking about that same Acts body that the Ephesians become members of. You got the idea? That's the idea. That's the idea. And so what I thought it would be good is to just look at that and see whether that makes some kind of sense. So to do that and to understand it, what we need to do is get a little bit of context. So context is always good to get. And that's what we're going to do now. So if you look at Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, for this cause. Oh, okay. So one thing I can see, regardless of what's going on in chapter 3, is that Paul is basing his conclusions on what he has just previously discussed. For this cause. What cause? What's the cause? That's a good question to ask. So what is the cause? And if you go back to chapter 2, you find some very interesting things. So in Ephesians chapter 2, for example, it says this in verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us. Now look at this. Quickened us, that means made alive. It says, quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. Now notice it says, quickened us together. Where it says quickened and together, the Greek text has one word. Just one word. And the word has sunagairo. That's the word. Sunagairo. So the first part of it is this preposition, sun, which means with. With. And igairo, that means to raise. To raise. And there's another part of this which means to be made alive. So this is kind of interesting that in this particular passage here, you've got the word in verse 5, hath quickened us together with Christ, and hath raised us up together. Oh, and hath raised us up together. Oh, again. Okay, there's the sun part again. Together, together, together. So, Paul is using a language which relates to this idea of being made alive together with Christ, raised together with Christ. And the language that he's using is with this preposition, sun. Okay, carrying on down, and it talks about in verse 8, our favorite passage and famous passage, verse 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And it goes on, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, etc. These are great passages. And as you go down further, it talks about, in verse 11, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hands. Stop. Now we've got two very, very clear groups here. The circumcision and the uncircumcision. Two groups. And they are not together. They are not together. No, it's not sun there. They're not with each other. They are apart. They're separate. Different. And then it goes on and it says in verse 12 that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens. This is showing you the very big separation, not only between God and themselves, but also between the privileges of the one nation, Israel, that they were separate from Israel, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So you can see that separated from God, yes, that's clear, but also away from the privileges of being a part of Israel. No covenants. Then it says in verse 13, But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Oh, so now there is this wonderful thing of being made nigh, brought near. For he is our peace, who hath made both one. Now notice where it says, hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Oh, well now there is a togetherness. Now there is this togetherness, this sun. Now, not only does it show that through salvation, through simple faith in Christ, we get this being quickened with Christ, but also we get raised with Christ. But as this middle wall of partition has now been broken down, now this sun is beginning to be shown in our togetherness with this nation that was in a privileged position. Something's going on here. And it's talking about the difference between Israel and the Gentiles. And he goes on and he says this, having abolished in his flesh, this is verse 15, the enmity, even the law of commandments, contained in ordinances. Hold the phone, ordinances? Why, if you go back here to Acts 15, man, you're going to find some dogma. You're going to find ordinances there. And the Gentiles back here, they had to obey those ordinances. They had to. Why? Why did they have to do that? Well, they had to do that because the nation of Israel was first. It was Jew first. Now, we should go back to Acts 15 and explore this, but if we do that, we're going to break out the time. So I'm going to rely on your knowledge there, right? We know that happened. There were ordinances back here, and the Jew was certainly first, and they were given an advantage. But what does it say here? It says, oh, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. For to make in himself of twain, that's of two, one new man, so making peace. Peace between whom? Well, they already knew peace between God and man by faith in Christ. But now there is a peace between the privileges that were formerly given to Israel and the Gentiles. Right? Do you see the point I'm making here? That now there is an extension of this togetherness. The Son now is starting to move into this realm of the nations and the nation. This is cool. This is starting to look pretty interesting as we dig into this. And as you come on down further, it says, verse 16, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Oh, wow. Now you can see the togetherness coming in here, man. The Son is beginning to come in, this togetherness, as the King James translators put that, you know, those two words there in verse 5, quickened us together. That's the together. They get the together from the Son. And then, and hath raised us up together. Okay, that's the egairo. That's the Son. Together, you see. The together part is the Son. And that's put in as a prefix. It's a compound word where the authors, they put the preposition with the verb. Stick it together. Make one word out of it. Okay, that's what Paul has here. All right. Now, in chapter 3, verse 1, for this cause, what cause? Well, the cause of the fact that this one body has been created. It did not evolve. You know, it did not evolve out of the axe. You know, over here. Once I was a tadpole when I began to begin. Then I was a monkey in a banyan tree and now I'm a doctor with a PhD. No, that didn't happen through here. No. No evolution. This body has a togetherness in the nature of the one nation and the Gentiles. That division now has collapsed and now there is a togetherness. Now, that's what Paul says. For this cause, okay, for that cause of the creation of this one body where the differences now have collapsed and there's something new created, now he goes on. He says in verse 2, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you would. For this cause, you see, for the creation of this one body. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. As I wrote afore in few words, yeah. Now, so this has been revealed in terms of the fact that there was a mystery of Christ, and this one, the mystery, is the culmination of all this. Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So you can see how great his knowledge is, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets, yeah, by the Spirit. And were there apostles and prophets that were able to refresh themselves and be given this knowledge? Yes, there were. Paul was certainly one of them. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. Oh, here come some words. Now, let me just point these words out. I'm going to bring you to where I wanted to take you. Here it is, here. Now, look at this. This is verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fallow heirs. Fallow heirs. That the Gentiles, to ethne. Okay, that's the Gentiles. Now, can you see here, S-U... Now the new disappears when it comes up against some of these consonants. So in this case it's sung kleronoma, okay? And here it is. And look at this. Su. Sun. Soma. Susoma. That's this body together, right? This body together. Notice if we read this, allowing the sun to take its place. That the Gentiles should be heirs to together. Fellow heirs together. All I'm doing is just taking what the King James did previously with the other sons, right? Together. So let's do that. Okay, so wherever we get this sun part, let's put together. That the Gentiles should be heirs together and of the body together. The body together. And notice it says partakers and partakers together of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Now, does that make sense? Yes, it does. It makes perfect sense that there is now this inheritance together with the Jews. And I made a little bit of a bit of fun with this thing. You've got believing Jew, you've got believing Gentiles. There was certainly a demarcation. The ordinance were there previously. Now what happens? Well, you know, Gentiles. So now this has been addressed to the Gentiles. Right? Just the nations. The advantages that the Jews had are gone. The disadvantages that the Gentiles had have been taken away. And what do we have? Now we have this beautiful fellow heirs, as the King James translates it, or the heirs together. That's what we have. The body together and the partakers together of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Now, when it says the gospel, do you notice that this has to do with partaking an inheritance and this together body? It does not refer to our salvation directly, but rather to this great election where, as Paul says, that, and if you look down here in chapter 1 and verse 4, according as he hath chosen us in him, chosen us in him, chosen us who are in Christ, right? He made this choice amongst those who are in Christ, where he would place them, what he would do with them. And so in that sense, this is showing us what God is going to do with the saved. Now, he refers to how you get to be saved in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. You can read about that. But the emphasis here is what happens afterwards. The emphasis is, what does God give us as saved people, right? That's the emphasis. So that in chapter 3, where it says that the Gentiles should be heirs together and of the body together and partakers together of his promise in Christ by the gospel, I've got to ask you this. What gospel? Which is the gospel that Paul is referring to here? What does he mean here? And he goes on and he says this, whereof I was made a minister. Okay, so Paul was made a minister because of this and for this, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. He was empowered effectually to do this. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach. Now, I want you to see this word, preach, because it's exactly right. A preaching where there is a verdict required. You preach it as a verdict required. You don't just throw it out here and just say it as a fact. No, this has to do with persuasion. This has to do with saying, now this is what you can have in Christ. Do you want it? What is the gospel that he's referring to here in verse 6? Well, it says so. Look what it says in verse 8. It says this, that I should preach as a gospel, preach as good news, preach with a verdict, the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. That's the gospel he's referring to. The preaching of the unsearchable riches of Christ. And people will have to make up their own mind about this. That is, people that are already in Christ will have to make up their mind about whether they're going to accept this gospel or not. You say, what? Yeah, look at verse 9. And to make all men see, what is the fellowship of the mystery? which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. That's according to his eternal purpose. God had a purpose for those who were in Christ, at least some of those that are in Christ, that he would do this. He would give them these multiplied benefits and blessings. But it was only theirs if they would receive it and accept it as a gospel, good news. So, is this the same body? No. There's nothing wrong with the expression same body, but what it means is it means body together. That is, that which has been freshly created, as chapter 2 tells us, between the Jews, believing Jews, and the believing Gentiles, being formed into one new man. One new man. Not that's come out of the book of Acts. Because this body back here, let's read about what's going on here, the number of bodies you find here. Let's have a look at Romans chapter 12. Look at it with me. Romans chapter 12, and I'll just point out a few basic things. There's more to say. There's a whole lot more to say. Romans chapter number 12 and verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, well, that's right. The human body's like that. We have many members in the one body. And all members have not the same office. That's right. They have different functions. So we, being many, are one body in Christ. Well, there is a realm of people who are in the position of believing Christ, and they're under his influence, and they are in communion with him in some form. And it says here, so we, being many, are one body in Christ. Well, that's right. There's one body in Christ, and you're going to find other bodies in Christ as well. We are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy. You say, what gifts? He's going to tell you. And I'm going to ask you this right now. Is this the body that we've got after the end of the book of Acts? He goes on. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teaches on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And it goes on down further and further. So there were certainly gifts, and this body was made up of this, varying based upon it. Now have a look at another passage. Let's have a look at another one. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'll quickly show you this one. 1 Corinthians and chapter number 12. And as you go through this, it's a great passage, we won't read all of it, but in verse 1 it says, Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away after these dumb idols, even as you were led. And then he goes on talking about all these things. It says in verse 4, Now there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Okay, so there's all these different operations and things. And then as you come down here, in verse 11, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally, as he will, severally. So every man receives severally these gifts, severally. That's three or more. And it goes on, and it says this. For as the body is one, and hath many members, but this is just like what Romans was starting off with, right? The same sort of expression, same sort of appealing to the same idea, okay? A body has many members. And all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. And the drinking into the Spirit, of course, has an effect. It says this in verse 14, "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body?" Okay, so these are parts of the body which function to make this thing work. "And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body?" Wait a minute. The body that Paul talks about here, this body together, it has a head. And that head is Christ. Right? The head is Christ. Wait a minute here. What's going on with this picture of the body? Well, you can be members of the head, right? You can be an eye or an ear or whatever. Of course you can, because that's the picture. It's a human body. Coming on down here, if we keep reading down, it says in verse 24, "For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked." There's honorable parts of the body. We don't need to go there, right? And there are parts which have lacked, right? "That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another." Okay? So the way this body is put together is that it's very clear that the metaphor of the body transfers right across to the body of 1 Corinthians 12. That is, there are dishonorable members of this body. There are. There are uncomely parts to that body. And that metaphor goes right across to the body that's mentioned here. Look what we find further down here. Verse 30. "Have all the gifts of healing. Do all speak with tongues. Do all interpret." Now look at verse 31. "But covet earnestly the best gifts." Oh, sorry. If there are gifts which are called best, then there must be substandard ones. Standard to that best, right? There must be lesser gifts. There's best gifts. So therefore, there are lesser gifts. And he goes on, "And yet show I you unto more excellent way." And then he talks about, that, you know, "though I speak in tongues," and he talks about when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part shall be done away, etc., etc., etc. But when you come over here to this body together, what do we find? We find that the head is Christ, and that this body here is finally seen to be male. But the body that's meant over here, you find as its conclusion, as the chaste virgin. The chaste virgin over here. You have parts of the body which are uncomely. You have some parts which are expressing gifts which are better than others. What's going on? Is that the same as this body here? No, it's a very different body in Romans and in 1 Corinthians. They're different. And you can't make them the same. And they're different for a reason. Well, I'm done for today, but there's a whole lot more there. There's a lot more there, my friends. And it's great stuff. But it is a big mistake to say that simply because the word same is given here, that means the same as the body back here. Not going to work. Not going to work. The word same here just means together. The body together. The Jew and the Gentiles. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for this time that we've had together. Open the Scriptures again and to read and understand. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.